All righty, how's that? Is that good enough? How do you read? Everybody all right? How is that better? Well, I don't like testing. We're in a series, a lesson series that I'm calling Evangelical Considerations. If you recall, my sharing with you how I came to determine what my memory verses would be if I were to choose some to have on hand for witnessing, and how I took them from the handbook by Dr. Ray Stanford, former president of Florida Bible College. And they come straight from the list that actually, as it turns out, having been a counselor at two or three of his camps here in Texas, when he would come with Freddie Coyle and Mike and some other churches that Mike had gathered about, would hold a summer camp for kids. Probably, I guess at our peak, we were, what, a couple hundred? Back in the 90s, as I recall. Those kids had to learn verses that made an impression on me. Like anything else I did with the kids, including going to Six Flags and riding some of those rides when I didn't know what was wrong with my heart. I determined I was going to do it. If they could do it, I could do it. And so I started picking and choosing. One of them was not the verse we did last week, although I've memorized it for other purposes. But I didn't work it into the lineup that I would use were I to sequentially present the gospel to someone who had never heard it before. And the first one I started out with was 1 John 1:5. That's our studies we'll focus on this evening. And not only as a memory verse, which the series of lessons will be, those memory verses, and, we have a visitor. You may have to go open the door. I just saw her drive by. So I put together some verses, and this is the first one I really chose, and you're going to find out why. As a memory verse, 1 John 1:5 is going to be the point of our study tonight. And I chose this verse, number one, because I felt like it was a declarative statement right off the bat about one of God's attributes. It conveys basic biblical understanding, likely unknown, to an unbeliever. Most everybody can conceive of the difference between darkness and light, but not in a spiritual sense. And this verse seems to accomplish that in my mind. It does that. Light and darkness is a dynamic that is observable repeatedly as a subject in Scripture. Darkness hides things. That's a concealing. Shadow can be veiled darkness, which is can be a confusing. So we have a concealing and a confusing. Well, what about light? Light can shine in darkness. Therefore, it would be a revealing. So this verse conveys all of those dynamics if you look close enough spiritually. It's really rather elementary. But John identifies himself as an eyewitness unto Jesus by following the apostles. As you know, John was not a disciple, but he was an apostle. And as I have said before, the disciples accepted John after a time. They were convinced that what happened to Paul on the Roman on the road to Rome. I'm sorry. I am really twisted around here. I've had a hard week. We're talking about John here. We're not talking about Paul. That came out of the blue. Apologies. John wrote to a fundamental context. And that context was genuine fellowship with God in this verse, testing the reality of personal communion with the God of all creation and the dangers of false teachers in the early church. We should consider several verses as we look into the context as I described it just now, beginning in John 1:1. Obviously, my memory verse is four verses later. But let's look at this. John 1:1. I'm going to read all the way through verse 5. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and we have heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. And your, there is an asterisk. That can be a different word in different versions. This is the message which we have heard from Him, and we declare unto you that God is light. 1 John. Did you go to the Gospel of John? Okay. Well, after my faux pas, I can see why you might think I'm sorry about that. Again, this is the message which we heard from you, from Him, and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Beginning in John 1:1, the phrase, that which was from the beginning. What do you think that refers to? Any ideas from the peanut gallery? I'm going to pick on you now that I embarrassed myself. Well, it's likely not Genesis 1:1, okay, from the beginning. Nor is it John 1:1. Gospel of John. Neither one of those. More in view is the gospel message concerning Christ is the gospel proclamation that we find in the Bible. This was the original truth about Christ as God's Son, and again witnessed directly by the disciples, apostles, and one apostle who wasn't a disciple. The proclamation follows with verse 1. It continues, that which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. As we look at this, what we need to know about that verse, that's a statement, a recording that addresses the heresy that John was worried about, that false teachers were bringing new ideas and concepts which were not from the beginning. And when we say the beginning, what we mean is those whom Christ called from the very beginning, His first disciples, till He eventually had 12. That's the beginning in this context. The verse also involved the denial of the reality of Christ incarnate. That's what they were preaching against. That's who he was worried about, those who did that. John wrote against this heresy, noting eyewitness experiences, testimonies, personal and actual physical interaction with the risen Lord as Christ. And John wrote into the historical reality of the Christ. What does he do for us? Why is he there? He's the reason we have fellowship with one another. One of the themes of this particular book. Not only do we have fellowship with one another because of Christ, we have it together with Him and His Father, Heavenly Father. Continuing John 1:1, concerning the word of life, as we look at this phrase, word is capitalized as a title should be, similar to what you find in John 1:1 and also the Gospel of John. Both these are Gospel of John's 1:14. However, more likely we should understand here that word of life is actually meaning the message of life which they heard from the beginning. And we need to turn to Philippians chapter 2:16 to get a read on that as word meaning message of life. Philippians 2:16. I need glasses again. Holding fast the word of life, again that phrase, word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Message of life. No, it's not. I agree. I agree with that. Let's look at Acts 5:20. Acts 5:20. Go, stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of this life. Grammatically, John personifies your life and not so much word, is what I discovered. John, again, is presenting in 5:20. I hope this isn't a misprint. Who that life is. where he fleshes out the time-tested truths about God's Son, who is life. Let's look at John, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Well, that's the message. That's the message. Again, here, this is John fleshing out what is the message to the passage. And back to 1 John 1, we'll start in verse 2. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And you're going to notice here in the first two verses of 1 John 1, lots of we's in those sentences. We have heard, we have seen, we have looked upon. We have seen, we bear witness, we declare to you. That's going to be important, you're going to find out. Here we have the phrase, the life that was manifested, the life. Who are we talking about? That's Christ. Apostolically proclaimed and intensely experienced by these men that walked with Him. And then the phrase continues in verse 2, was manifested to us. Life made an appearance as eternal life, though unrealized by the disciples and later apostles early on. They didn't really understand that. Life was with the Father, yet He appeared to the multitudes and views the incarnation of God in this verse, so often dismissed by the heretics to which John was warning about. One of John's objectives is the fellowship reality shared by believers in their heavenly Trinity. And as I said just a few minutes ago, notice how many we's John wrote. Seven times between verse 1 and 4, as well as one us. I suppose that would be translated across all versions. And as we finish off with manifested to us, we continue with that which we have seen and heard and declare to you may also have fellowship with us. Fellowship. You the readers, with us the apostles, is what's in view here. That's what John's referring to. This is how we have fellowship. It's because of Him. That is another indication of these are believers that are being addressed. These aren't unbelievers. Conversion is not in view here in these passages. However, believers still needed John's letter. Why would they need John's letter? Because of his fear of the heretics. That took many forms, and some people read more into this than I think is intended. By the author, some of the heresies that are recognized biblically don't necessarily find their root in this particular passage. But in general, he is worried about believers being misled. Mm-hmm. Keep yourselves idols. Idols. Good point. Good point. Thank you. And in 1 John 1:3, as we move towards verse 5, that which we have seen, heard, and declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. There was a phrase I wanted to use, and I'm not sure I'm going to work it in. How many know what the term bebopping means? Bebopping. In other words, what kind of Christian are you going to be? Are you going to go through life just bebopping on down the road? No worries, man. No cares. You know, alligator man. No worries. Well, no. That's not the way the Christian life's going to be. Fellowship is more than just being a Christian. Just because you're a Christian, that status brings with it more than just a state of being. Being saved, being redeemed. There's an experience to it where we fellowship with one another. And we do it well, especially in His name. We look to Him for the lead on that. Because as flesh, which we still have, the flesh, even though we're believers, we can get in trouble if we're not careful. That's what bebopping is. Just no worries, no cares, no concerns. Anything that's going on around me, so what? That's what bebopping is. I heard it from a drill sergeant. Real fellowship with the 12, by ordinary believers, was to be an apostolic fellowship with all, together with the Father and the Son. I think I've already said that. Fellowship is walking in the light. Let's look at John, Gospel John. We're going to go into Chapter 4 and chapter 6. So John chapter 4, verse 14. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. This is what being a Christian means. This is what you can look forward to once you become a Christian. This is what you can take joy in as a Christian. This is the fellowship with the Lord that brings this. Your faith gets you there to have this fellowship, and this is what the fellowship that the Lord was trying to talk to us about in the Gospel of John. I'm going to be a source to you that you cannot imagine, is what Christ is saying here. Depend on me, is what He's trying to convey there. And then that's the fellowship aspect of the book that John was interested in, besides the aspect of the false teachers. Lost my place. Oh, six, chapter 6. verses 32. There'll be more than one verse in this chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Again, God will provide. The fellowship we have with Him allows this to happen. If we ask for it, and if He determines it's according to His will, of course. Then we'll go to verse 37 through 40. As the living Father sent me, that's 57. Gracious, I can't read. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that He has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. This is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This is the fellowship aspect. If you're a Christian, there's more to being a Christian than just getting in the door of heaven. There's an experience down here on the earth and a hope to look forward to when we leave the earth. And we see that if we go back to 1 John. And we're actually going to go beyond. Make sure here. I did not note that what that verse is. It's not 7. And I'm not reading well with these glasses. There it is, verse 4. And these things that I've been talking about here, about what is in store for a Christian, that go beyond just the status and getting into the door of heaven, these things that I've described to you that John wrote about and that we've read here in these past few scriptures, is backed up by verse 4, that these things we write to you that your joy may be full. That's bad note-taking. Okay. Now we get to the verse, the memory verse. This is the message which we've heard from Him and declare unto you. Again, these listeners here are indicated to be of varying maturities, from leaders to just normal members, multiple levels of spiritual maturity. John uses the inclusive "we," as I said several times. We have heard, we have seen, we have handled, we bear witness, we declare. And he uses this inclusively, describing the readers that are here gathered before him, hearing this letter being read. Because John is not there. This is a letter to these people. We really don't know who these people are, as I understand it. But it was somewhere where he was concerned for their spiritual well-being. declare unto you. Well, what about this message which we've heard from him? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You need to keep in mind that this is not a recorded statement of Jesus. Nowhere did Jesus say that. This is 1 John 5b. But this is the content of the message. The message is trying to be brought that fellowship is possible beyond your wildest dreams. The apostle heard much more than he recorded in this particular verse, where this is also found in Gospel John 21:25. This is a reinforcement of the fact that not everything the apostles heard was recorded. And that's what John 21:25 says. Go back to the Gospel of John. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. The final verse in the book of John. Gospel of John. I'm not sure I've made that point to you. I'm having... difficult to hear, apparently. But the apostle did hear much more than he recorded, but that doesn't mean that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Isn't true. Anybody who walked with Jesus, in other words, is what were to take from this, would have known this of that walk with him all those years up until the crucifixion. No. No, he did say, oh yeah, I am the light. I meant to bring that up, and I neglected it. But no, that's not what I would never say that. Nobody should say that. I may not have transitioned that commentary on that as well as I should have. But nowhere did Jesus say, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's a statement by an apostle. That's not Jesus talking. It was an apostle that learned from Jesus that said that. Thank you for bringing that up. I hope so. I'm having trouble tonight, guys. John often used light to describe God as light, obviously, from the last verse we just read, where you can often find, I have probably five verses here that we could go into, where John used light in the gospel. I've got one Revelation verse as well where John uses light, describing God as light. Why did he do this? God's the revealer of all his holiness by his being light. Exposing and condemning man's sin, Walkers in darkness are hiding from the truth that God reveals by His being, very being of light. The message John heard that I've referred to so often is written to his readers in a manner where he says, "We declare unto you," this is the message he's trying to make, "that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." John's use of "we" in these verses seven times indicates that he and his readers are in full view. In other words, they can see we're here. This is us. This is what he means by that. What I'm writing applies to all of us, including me, is what John is writing in this letter. Each is worthy and subject to God's light. The lesson series will emphasize the necessity of knowing Scripture to properly present the gospel of Christ. My chosen verses need not be your chosen verses. I did not learn to commit to memory all the chosen verses quickly. It took me some time. It took a few months, quite frankly. So do not be afraid. Any questions? Okay. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father,